Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We love good music on this program. We talk about good music on this program. Did you see Zach Bryant with a very heartfelt
this is Teddy Swims,
message?
By the way.
Yep. To his fans on Instagram saying he has been sober 2 months.
Good for him.
And that he suffers from debilitating anxiety and panic attacks. And said going from the military, I believe is what he said, into just bright white spotlight fame and stardom for his particular anxiety disorder was not something that he was handling well, and he was turning to alcohol to numb it. And he said, I've been sober 2 months, and I want to share this in case anyone else there has anxiety issues. And it's been received well, so we wish him well.
Yeah, good for him. Yep, sober 2 months.
Yeah, I love his music.
What was the story about the Christmas tree, Dan, that you had in your stack?
That fake trees are going to be more expensive if you're buying a new fake tree because of tariffs. And the growing season apparently has been good for the real trees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so they should be available.
I have this story here. It says Christmas tree pricing. Experts say this may be the year to buy a real tree. But why wouldn't you just buy a fake tree? Because that fake tree costs you $0 next year and $0 the year after that.
Mm-hmm. Or the fake tree you bought 5 years ago that you reuse every year.
I still remember as a child.
Are you a real tree or fake tree person?
This year we're going to go real. We're going to go real tree. And I still remember as a child, because I love the smell, my grandmother would drag out the Christmas box. And it was in the same box all, 20 years that I can remember her dragging that thing out. And inside was a pole, okay, and it had little holes in it.
Okay.
And then the branches, which over the years looked nothing back in the late 70s, like any sort of tree in nature, had color by number tips on the branches. It was either orange, blue, yellow,
That's
or green or
had.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you would stick the branch, singular, they didn't branch out, just little stalks of branches you would stick into that pole.
They've come a long way.
They have.
Oh, yeah.
And I still, as a child, I that was a magical time when she said, okay, let's go get that Christmas box.
I've got a tree that has the individual fir branches with the individual little bits of green. It's pretty amazing.
I don't like the pre-lit because I think the lights go bad and then you got to fiddle with the lights. I don't do the pre-lit. If I'm going to go fake, I'm going to go just regular old tree, and then I'll buy the $3 lights
here. You would hate it at our house. We have the fake tree, and it is pre-lit. We don't even dismantle it.
You just stick it in the basement?
Stick it in a corner.
No, I'm not kidding.
I love it.
It is in the basement. It's like in three parts, and the branches will just fold up on itself.
Yeah, it's in your Christmas corner.
Right, but the box is up in the garage somewhere, and so every December 26th, we will take the tree downstairs, and it's not a big tree. It's like 6 feet tall. It's not big.
Yeah.
And we'll just put it in the storage room downstairs and drape a sheet over it so it doesn't get all dusty and gross, and then on the day after Thanksgiving, see, I'm very strict about this. No Christmas tree before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
No Christmas tree after Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Day after, it's done.
So
it's out.
The day after Thanksgiving on that Friday, I'll go down in the basement, get the tree, and bring it up I'll let her decorate it. I can't stand decorating a Christmas tree. And then the day after Christmas, I will ask her kindly to take the decorations off, and then I will haul that tree downstairs.
What is the most you all think one should spend on a fake tree? During the season, not wait till the 26th and get one on sale.
No more than 300.
Okay. No more than 300.
Wow.
That's about what I was going to say. What do you think, Kramer?
If you go to Hobby Lobby, that's what they cost.
I mean, I'm getting a $50 one from Home Depot. Why not?
$50, okay.
Yeah, if you go online, you can buy them for much cheaper than that.
Exactly.
They're really nice, actually.
You can also get a 7.5-foot one for like $75.
Where?
Online.
Okay.
What, do you have to meet in some shady parking lot and pick it up?
No, it gets delivered to your house.
No, it's crazy. It's a storage unit you have to go to.
Would you be surprised?
Fentanyl.
To know that you could spend $11,499, because when I looked up the cost of fake trees, now all of this is pushing to the Dana because they think I want to buy expensive trees, which I don't. You can buy on some website called Balsam Hill a fake tree for $11,499 on sale for $8,449.
See, I think that you're online on some really fancy
places. No, this is one of the first things that popped up. It does say it's realistic. Dude, for $8,449.
It better smell like a real tree, too.
It better, you should bring it and stick it in my front yard for generations to enjoy.
Here's one for $60. A 6-foot tree looks like a fir tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be brought to you within 2 days.
Okay, so if you're paying $60 for a fake tree, I guarantee you when it gets to your house, it looks like a fake tree.
They all look like a fake tree, Scott.
Well, you have to fluff it up.
You know, maybe if you squint from 50 yards away.
Yeah, you need a good fluffer on them fake
Stop
trees.
Stop it. Stop it. I knew somebody on the show was going to drop that word.
Is that a job, a fake tree fluffer upper?
The three of you better cut it out.
The unfortunate thing is that's my job every single Christmas. I already got two trees up already.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's your job, Kramer?
Yeah, I'm the tree fluffer.
You're the tree fluffer. Okay.
I'm pretty good at it.
Okay.
My big concern about this holiday season is Dana saying she's going to get a real tree brought into this house that we've been talking about with all kinds of things.
Problems.
And I could just see things happening with this real tree.
No.
Let me say this.
Everything's fixed and everything is fine.
Some people call me Nostradamus because I can predict the future.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a fire extinguisher?
Yes. Oh, gosh, yes, Dan.
Okay.
Safety first.
My name is Nostradamus, and I come here to predict the future. And I mean, I am not wishing this at all, but I can predict the future. And this money pit that you found yourself in, I pray that I leave this planet sooner than your house.
Oh, my gosh.
I think that thing is going to catch on
fire. It is not going to catch on fire.
You know, these real trees
Things
dry
been there
out.
Since the Civil War. You know, they do dry out if you don't. Oh, look at that. I broke another pair of headphones. They do dry out if you don't water them.
This?
I don't know. It just does.
Squirrel.
Did you hear that? Oh, there it goes again. Okay. Anyway. We have lots of good stuff in the stack.
Do you know who the president was when your house was built?
Wilson?
No.
It's around Woodrow Wilson.
You said the house is 125 years old.
16.
116?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hang on.
That
changes everything.
World War I-ish.
Is that Teddy?
Would have been William Howard Taft.
Oh, Taft.
That's
right. Taft.
Right after Teddy.
William Howard Taft was the president when your house was built.
I love it. I love it so much.
You know who was president when my house was built? Obama.
I was going to say Obama or later.
I live in a place that was built in 1886.
Yeah, you predate Dana.
I believe that would have been, and I'm just going off, I think that's Grover Cleveland's standby.
West Bottoms is all old.
Oh, that's 1986. Hang on.
No, 1886. We just watched this. This is the guy that was assassinated.
It was Grover Cleveland.
There you go.
He was not assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of where you live, we are going to talk about this hour. Of all the reasons you don't like going to the DMV, we are going to add one that heretofore you may not have known about. I saw this in the national news a few weeks ago, and now it has hit Kansas and Missouri. They are saying that, yes, Kansas and Missouri, along with the other states, are selling some of your personal data information things to private companies, and they have the legal right to do so.
Under what pretense?
Over some decades-old federal law. And in fact, Scott, it's not a little bit of your data. Kansas and Missouri, they are saying, earned more than $1.3 million selling your address, your name.
That's how they got it.
And your birth date from their driver's databases. How is that legal?
Because some idiot passed a law.
If you are told, you are forced to go to the DMV because the state issues your driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something I get to choose to do. I have to go, the government says, to the DMV. And then they turn around and sell that?
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Story here from Channel 5. Every time you get a driver's license or register a vehicle, you give the state's Department of Motor Vehicles, whether it's Missouri or it's Kansas, your personal information. But did you know that your personal data is being sold? We all know the feeling. It's early in the morning, you're tired, you're at the DMV. Quoting here from Maria Bruce, who lives in Overland Park. I had to be up at 5:30 this morning to get on the 6 a.m. waiting list. Oh. And then there was still a 2.5 hour wait. It's an unavoidable task with an unexpected exposure. In Kansas and Missouri, the state can sell the data you give the DMV. It goes to private companies. The data sales can include your name, your address, your date of birth, and your vehicle registration information. A decades-old federal law allows states to sell this data. It's called the Driver's Privacy Protection Act. It should be called the Driver's Anti-Privacy Protection Act, but whatever. It prevents driver information being open to the public, but there is a catch. They can sell your information to private entities.
So, who, pray tell, is the number one buyer of your information? If I don't want to say if all they're getting, because this is your private information, but if all they're getting is your birthday, name, and address in a big old database,
so
do they sell it and resell it and resell it?
The state of Kansas is more prolific at making money off of this than the state of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, according to Channel 5's investigation, in 2024, the Kansas Department of Revenue, which runs the DMVs, made $1.1 million by selling your private information to only two companies. They are R.L. Polk, an automotive data and marketing company, and Experian, one of the three credit bureaus.
Yep.
So the state of Kansas made $1.1 million. In Missouri in 2024, the state sold to 5,239 companies.
Mm-hmm.
Those included banks, law firms, and assessment offices. But Missouri only made $151,000, a tenth of what the state of Kansas made, selling to two companies.
What bothers me the most about this is we don't have a choice. We have to go to the DMV. We don't have a choice. They tell you, you have to go.
That is correct.
I don't like it that if you have to go do something, they can then profit off what they're forcing you to do.
Well, they would make the argument that's public information. Is it not? Driving's a privilege, not a right. I'm not defending it. I'm trying to play the devil's advocate with you. That is public information. Is it not?
Yeah, but the state already has your information. They know when you were born. The government certainly knows. They know your Social Security number.
They don't have $1.1 million they otherwise wouldn't have had.
Mm.
They're not doing it because it's public information. They're doing it because there's money in it.
They're doing it because it's a catch-all place, space, where all of that data is stored in one place because we're all forced to go there.
Now, there is somebody in this story. Let me find his or her first name. Last name is Torrance. I don't know if this is a man or woman, but this is somebody who is advocating for change. And they're suggesting that when you go to the DMV, you should be allowed to opt out.
Bingo.
Of your personal information being sold.
Just like on websites that'll say, do you mind if we track you? And I always go, no, yes, I mind. Do not track me.
I don't disagree with you. You're a website, but I'm on your web. Like, you don't own the photos on Facebook.
I know.
They do. You're using their site to tell your friends how wonderful life is. Those photos belong to Facebook.
Have you set it up so that if you die, you have like a person in the wings that can swoop in and take over your Facebook?
No.
I've always thought that was very odd. They ask you, do you want, like, in the event of your untimely demise, do you want someone to have access to your profile?
For years, Facebook has allowed your page to continue on in your death. Let me see if that's true.
Oh, yeah.
Let me see if my buddy...
You have to opt into it.
Yeah, Joseph Noyes, my best friend Joe, he is still on Facebook. He died 3 years ago. Mm. And somebody is posting, not as him, but things on his page. These are some guys who were in an old band of his.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, people have been posting all year on Joe's page. There used to be a talk show host on this station, Russ Johnson, God bless him, who died years and years ago. Let me see if he's still on Facebook.
Wait, he's not the same one who killed his wife, is he?
No, he killed him. Sadly, he killed himself.
Who was the radio person that killed his wife?
So that was...
And they arrested him while he was on the air.
That was James McCowan.
He was like, I don't think I'm coming back.
Yeah. So
is that how he sound off?
No, that's
true.
Kramer, it actually happened. He was on the air, and the feds, like, swoop in, put him in handcuffs.
Now, it wasn't here. But when I first started here 30 years ago, he went by the name J.P. O'Neill. I can't believe I'm telling this story again. He went by the name J.P. O'Neill, and he was the assistant program. This is back when we had assistant program directors, right? And
the glory days, actually.
Yeah, he wasn't on air. Honest to God, I don't know what he did, you know. But he was the assistant program director for KMBZ back in the 90s. And everybody told me, when I first started here in December of 96, watch your back, J.P.'s a snake, okay? And... he ended up, you know, I don't know, he was there for like a year after I started, maybe two, and he ended up leaving, and he went to Massachusetts. He met a lady here in town, married her, but I think her parents or family was from Massachusetts. So they moved up to Massachusetts, where he claimed to have enrolled in, is Harvard the school that's in Massachusetts?
He claimed to enroll in one of the Ivy Leagues?
Yes, which all of it was a lie. It was all a lie.
All right.
I mean, everything about him is a lie. And I can't remember exactly how it went down, but when he was here at this radio station, I mean, he was probably making 40 grand. You know, this is back in the 90s, but he drove the nicest cars and always wore the finest suits to work. I mean, everything about JP was about his appearance, the way that he portrayed himself to you. And I remember he used to drive a BMW and just wore the nicest suits. I don't know where the money came from. Anyway, he ended up moving up to Massachusetts with his wife, and he took out, and I'm not telling you anything that hasn't been proven in court, he took out a $1 million life insurance policy on his wife. And this is not funny.
No, ABC News did a story about this, and Ellen Schenck is quoted in
it. Yes, Ellen Schenck was at his wedding.
He had the Rolex. He had the three-piece suit. I saw him once driving a Jaguar. He was sort of, you know, the one you expected to watch and end up at the networks.
Yep. That's exactly true.
Oh, he ended up on the network,
and
all right.
Anyway, he slowly...
on Dateline.
He ended up killing his wife by putting antifreeze in her Gatorades when she would come home from a workout. He would be like, oh, honey, let me get you a Gatorade here, you know? Here, drink this. This is going to make you feel good. It literally ate her innards out.
That's terrible.
And she
died. By the time she arrived at the ER, she was so incapacitated she could not even sign a consent form. After a three-day stay in the hospital, her condition was improving, but a battery of tests produced some disturbing news. She had chronic kidney disease and would need dialysis. How did this come, like, tumbling out? 2 weeks later, here's why. She goes home, she gets better, and then 2 weeks later, she has, quote, another attack. She then slips into a coma. Doctors were stumped. So then they test her blood and boom, there it is, antifreeze.
So he ended up, after she died, he was in the process of trying to collect on her life insurance policy. Because with JP, everything was about money. And he ended up getting a job in Jefferson City.
Yeah.
And finally, and he was on air for a while and doing a talk show during the day sometime. I don't know what time.
God, they both went to William Jewell College.
Yeah, that's where they met. And anyway, now this part is kind of funny. They finally cracked the case and realized he's poisoned her with antifreeze in her Gatorade. That's how he did it. Mm. And so these officers from Massachusetts come down. And, you know, in every radio studio, there's a big window that you can see out into the newsroom or whatever. They're standing outside the window of his studio while he's on air.
Oh, boy.
And he recognizes, you know, the jig is up. And he just, his last words on the air were, I'm paraphrasing, but close enough to be dangerous. We're going to go to break now.
God.
I probably won't be here when we get back. Have a good day.
That was it.
That was
what?
It.
What?
And he turned his microphone off. They came in, arrested him on the spot, and he...
And was that his... stage name, because
J.P. O'Neill, James McGowan.
McCowan
is his real name.
Is the real name.
J.P. O'Neill was his on-air name. Yeah. 913-586-779.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So I'm not going to bore you guys with this story much longer.
Crazy. I started a deep dive during the break.
I knew James Cowan, APJ, or AKA JP O'Neill, who was years and years, this is 30 years ago, was an assistant program director here, and just a narcissist of narcissists. There is actually, if you're interested in it, because there is, of course, a local connection. They met at William Jewell College back in the 90s, and... I did not get invited to the wedding. I don't think I knew him that well. I knew him well enough. But anyway, there's a book out on the case, and I've read it. It's a fascinating read called Lie After Lie, if you want to check it out on Amazon or whatever. What I didn't know until I, too, just did a deep dive on James Cowan, a.k.a. J.P. O'Neill, he has also written about his own case, and it's on prisonwriters.com. I cannot make this stuff up.
Stop it.
And I'm going to read, during the next break, I'm going to read through it and see if he actually confesses.
No.
Because he never did confess.
He's a narcissist.
That's right. So he can do nothing wrong.
Do you know
wrong.
What they found on his laptop? Several searches, how to kill someone with whatever the actual component of antifreeze is. Mm-hmm. Like ethanol, glycer, something, something. Don't you feel like every single time Someone in the world Google searches, how do I kill someone with antifreeze?
Right.
Police should get some kind of heads up. Because, you know, we've all watched Dateline, and this is how really they suspected him from the beginning, because there's the life insurance policy. He's a narcissist. There's weird stuff going on. Every time she gets out of the hospital, she's better. And then she goes home and gets sick again.
Yep.
And then, of course, they figure out that she's got all of this antifreeze that has eaten the inside of her entire body, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the laptop that always does them in.
Yep.
And Casey Anthony, you know, how long before a dead body stops smelling in my car? You know, and in this case, how much antifreeze do I have to give my wife to kill her? Shouldn't there be some mechanism, unless you're an author and you are, or a movie writer and you are Googling that for a book, there would be some exceptions.
Right.
If just Joe Blow in Kansas City, Missouri looks up, how do I kill someone with antifreeze?
You know, to ping the local police department.
Should we somehow ping somebody?
So the story that he tells in prisonwriters.com, mm-hmm. and by the way, it's prisonwriters.com, where prisoners have a voice.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
I can't make this up.
That's
man. Crazy.
Okay.
Anyway, the story he tells, and keep in mind, he's a pathological liar. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The story he tells is a little different than
right. The
story I got from his boss, who used to work here as well.
Did she trip and fall on a funnel full of...
No, I'm talking about when he was arrested.
Right.
So he says, he writes, following my opening monologue, I took off my headphones and walked into the hallway outside of the studio. There was a man and two women standing there. I stuck my head into the newsroom and made some crack about my first segment to a reporter working on a report that seconds later would be replaced by me as the lead story of the day.
Mm-hmm.
The man waiting in the hallway called my name and I walked over to greet him. I presumed they were clients on a tour of the radio station. The next words I remember hearing were, "You're under arrest," or some variation of that line. I laughed, not heartily, but rather a simple chuckle. One of the local nonprofit groups held a regular fundraiser where community members were arrested and asked to make a plea to friends and family members to help them raise.
He thought it was a joke. Even
a
full
ball.
Well knowing in his mind that he had murdered his wife, mm-hmm. he's still going with, I thought they were joking.
He thought that the officers there were joking, yes.
Got it.
It's a rather lengthy piece.
We're good.
I'll read through it later and see if he actually confesses.
He has plenty of time to write.
Matt in Kansas City. Matt, hello.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hey.
We're doing well.
Good. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I actually grew up with James Cowan. He was
in
my class down in Jefferson City.
Really?
So what did you think when all of this happened?
You know, it wasn't the murder part, yes, was a shocker. But the thing with him acting like he had all this money, not a shocker at all. I mean, he even dressed to the nines and had a briefcase even back in high school. He had his own underground radio station that he had in his basement, that he had his parents' house. He drove a Cadillac back then, four-door, Cutlass. He always just, you know, he was always the nicest guy. I mean, I went to winter sports with him on a foursome date, and you just wouldn't suspect that at all with him. But, you know, we had our five-year anniversary in Jeff City, and then he came up to me and a couple of our buddies. Go, dude, you got to check out my new Jaguar. It's funny that you said that he drove one.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, oh, yeah, let's check it out. So we get in, start looking through it, open the glove box, and there's a Hertz rent-a-car.
No way.
This isn't even your car, James. It's a rental. And then he just shut up so quick. And goes, no, I just bought it from him.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No. Now, in fairness to a convicted...
narcissist.
No chance of parole murderer, I worked with JP, and he did have a Jaguar that he drove to the radio station.
Yes. He rented it.
Green, and that was probably the rental one.
That is phenomenal.
I don't remember what color
that
it was.
That is a phenomenal story.
It was 30 years ago.
Yeah, and he was actually dating a friend of ours when he got arrested while in Jeff City.
Oh, God.
Making up some story on how his wife died. Huh. And so, he was definitely not one to tell the truth all the time.
No.
No way did we ever think that was going to happen where literally you're poisoning your wife, watching her die every single day in front of you. No, not a chance.
I wonder, too, and it's so sad. She was a nurse.
She was.
Beloved by friends and family and all of that stuff. I wonder, in the wake of a string of these cases, I mean, Deborah Green with the castor beans,
mm-hmm.
I wonder if it is standard now, you know, if you come in and you are so sick and they cannot figure it out, Is there some standard blood test and they've let's just throw in
test for antifreeze?
Antifreeze, because it seems like in a lot of these cases, by the time they figured out, you know, that something more sinister may be going on, it's too late. Mm-hmm. You're dead.
I don't know.
Why not add it to the panel?
By the way, I have read through, and it's like 3 pages long. It stops right before the trial.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
There is, and by the way, there is no admission of guilt.
They asked one of the jurors, like, what really was it? And she goes, well, the Googling of how to kill someone with antifreeze was really what sealed it for us.
Yeah. But he of course, was going to take this to trial because he was a narcissist.
And slick, and he probably thought, let me take the stand.
He was one of the smoothest cats I had ever met in my life. And I was young in the business and probably a little intimidated by the whole thing. You know, being in the big city, major radio station, all I ever wanted to do growing up was work at KMBZ. And here I am, right? And his cubicle was directly across from mine. And the walls of the cubicle were really short, so we could see, like, all day, I'm literally sitting right across from him. And, I mean, if you drew me, I know the old building's been torn down in Westwood. If you drew me a building of, or a picture of the old newsroom, I could tell you exactly where his cubicle was.
Yeah,
exactly. Because I stared across at him.
It's probably
all
about
day.
The same dimension of the space that he occupies now, Scott.
It is smaller, but not by much. He even wrote not too long ago. I don't know why he crossed my mind, but he did. And so I Googled him and was reading up on some of the latest stuff about him. And they had, I don't know, must have been the Massachusetts Department of Corrections or whatever, but they had posted one of his letters online. And it was a letter asking for compassionate release. And because he suffered from chronic pain, the doctors, they wouldn't pay attention to him. They couldn't find out what's wrong with him. It might be fibromyalgia, blah, blah, blah. And he's asking to be released. He's only been in prison for 20 years for a horrible, horrible, despicable crime. But he's asking for compassionate release. I don't know how much longer I have to live. He's my age. I mean, he's in his early 50s. And he's
the nerve of these people that ask, like Robert Courtney asking for a compassionate release after however many people he murdered.
Mm-hmm. God, how many? How many? 913-586-7798. That's Kramer over there. She's Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. I'm KMBZ. The Kansas City, Missouri Health Department, by the way, is urging travelers to check their vaccination status after a confirmed measles case exposed passengers at KCI. People could have been exposed at KCI on November 5th, so 2 weeks ago from today, from approximately 2 a.m. until noon, and on November 10th, very early in the morning, from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. Favorite student, front row. Dana Wright, yeah.
Wouldn't you already have measles if you were exposed to the measles?
Dana, I'm not a scientist.
That'd be a Dana Hawkinson question, but I feel like maybe...
You probably already would have developed the... Probably so. Okay, we'll just throw that story away. Home values are falling for more than half of U.S. households, according to new research from Zillow, which shows 53% of all U.S. homes have lost value since last year, the biggest drop since 2012. I will say this, from my realtor, Bridget, I get an update like every month on what, if I wanted to sell, what the perceived value of my home would be, okay? And ever since I bought the house in 2021, it's not like skyrocketing, but it's always gone up, you know, a little bit here and there. And this month was the first time she sent me my home price estimate, and it's down.
It's down.
Mm-hmm.
Not significantly, but
no,
down.
Not enough that I'm like, oh my God, let's get out of this now and take the profit.
Sure.
But it dropped 3% in 1 month.
You're going to get some tax money back for that?
Actually, I just got my home value assessment in the mail this morning.
Good.
And yes, they are assessing, Johnson County is assessing my property at a lower rate than they did last year. Thank you.
Mm. Thank you very much. Did you hear Kansas City, when it wants to act, can act with lightning speed? We know that. Did you hear that they want to target vacant lots on the city's east side on 100 blocks in 100 days?
Translation, the World Cup is coming, and we want to get rid of some of these houses.
Through this Channel 41, throughout Kansas City, there are at least 17,000 vacant lots.
Oh, my God.
Roughly 20% of them, by the way, are owned by the Kansas City Land Bank. Hmm. Generation after generation, it's like we're overdue. Quoting here from Rachel Riley, president of the East 23rd Neighborhood Association, we want to live in our community, not just survive. She grew up and still lives on the east side of Kansas City and for years has pushed for changes and resources for her community.
Good.
Riley said years ago there were 22 homicides in a 10-block radius in 1 year from her, okay? Mm-hmm. She believes the vacant lots could serve a greater purpose, including a community center, affordable housing. And there's photos of some of these lots, and it's not just grass, let me tell you that.
Tires
it's
and
trash.
All that stuff.
It's tires. Ugh. So a new pilot program will mirror a program in Alabama called Build Up Birmingham. Robinson said they successfully got rid of 100% of Birmingham's vacant lots and created affordable housing. They're still developing a strategy in Kansas City, but the goal, again, is 100 vacant lots in 100 days. Let's do something about it.
Good. Good for them. From the text line, this goes back a couple of topics ago. I think you mentioned Casey Anthony, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the searches on that computer that they found after the fact.
So this 5929, let me just give you, and I'm not mocking you at all. I'm just going to give you an update or a, I guess a history lesson, but that sounds like I'm being negative. 5929 writes, I don't think Casey Anthony was ever charged, though. Mm-hmm. She was charged and she was acquitted.
She was acquitted. The computer evidence that I think reporters found.
Don't forget the evidence in the trunk of her car.
Yes. On that computer only came to light after the trial. Authorities missed it in their investigation. And if you look
up what
were those Google searches, they are damning.
Well, there was.
They are damning.
Did they know about the DNA in the trunk?
After trial that someone said, has anyone ever thought about just sending this to a forensic analysis and let's look at this laptop and look up what those Google searches were. It'll turn your stomach.
Mm. All right. Hey, if you miss a segment, be sure to check out the Dana and Parks podcast. You can follow us on Apple Podcast, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. The guy over there producing the show today for Sam is Kramer. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Dan with the news in exactly 2 minutes.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.